Well, good evening. Like she said, my name is Lauren Osborne, and I am a mother to Wesley. He is 5. I taught in the public school system for 6 years, had Wesley in 2011, and resigned. And I've just been home with him for the past 5.5 years, worked part-time, doing some consulting work in the education field. And then just this year, and I didn't even know I was going to take this job in the summer, and it just sort of fell into my lap. And so now I'm teaching at Covenant Christian Academy, just right down the road from y'all. And Wesley and I go to school every day together. It's really, really fun. He's right down the hallway. So that being said, welcome to tonight. I hear that we have 3 nights like this. So I will see you hopefully for 3 times. What I will tell you in disclaimer for tonight, what you're getting tonight is basically just the information about the brain. So a lot of times when people leave from this night, they're like, what do we do now? Like, we have this information, but I need something now to do this, okay? I promise we're going to get there, okay? We might not get there tonight, but I promise the next 2 times that I see you, we'll get there, okay? But if you do have a question, I'm super laid back, so please shout it out at me, wave me down, do whatever you need to do, and I'm happy to answer that. I might answer, though, and say, that's on night 2. Please come back, okay? Because it might be like a 30-minute answer, okay, for tonight, okay? All right. Well, let me tell you who we are. So my mom and sister-in-law and I, we were all educators, okay? And so we were going to all these fabulous education conferences all over, Bruce Perry, Dr. Becky Bailey, all these different conferences we were going to and finding all of this fabulous. Everybody heard of Eric Jensen? He's another big name. Okay. So a lot of names. We were going to all these conferences and getting this fabulous information about the brain. And then aside from the secular world, we were going to church and getting all this great information about how Jesus tells us to raise our kids and what the Lord says and how to biblically train our children. But the two were never coming together. And so my mom and my sister-in-law and I got together about, 4.5 or so years ago. Wesley had just been born. He was about 6 months old. We got together and said, okay, this is all making sense. Like, I'm seeing where this science is now coming together with what we're learning over here. We need to align these. And so that's basically what we started doing. And we are now officially a company called You Are My Treasure. It's based out of Deuteronomy. And we now go spend our summers presenting at different educational conferences or parent nights like this, talking about how we have found science and scripture and how they actually work together. And when I say that, let me clarify that. When science has become absolute fact, not any theories that are out there, but when it has been proven, this is it, yes, this is absolutely true, then 100% of the time that lines up with what Jesus says in scripture. And what we're finding is these scientists are going in and figuring out how God has wired us, and they're putting scientific terms to how we're spiritually designed. Okay, so that's basically our passion in life right now is what we're doing. Okay, this first part, I know that you're going to know all of this, but we're getting to a point. Okay, so in the very beginning, Psalm 139, for you formed my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. So obviously, from the very beginning of time, God has designed us. Inside the womb, we have been made by the hand of God. Very, very intimate. So something happened, right? Here's Wesley and his sweet little newborn, 8 days old. There he is, like a year later, on the floor having this massive wall-eyed fit. And I'm like, something happened to my sweet little angel that I used to have. Sin happened. Okay, so the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Okay, that we have this very, everything else he spoke into existence, spoke the birds, spoke the land, spoke the sea, spoke the sky, spoke everything. And then when it came time to create us, he breathed life into us and created us with his hands. So there's this very intimate personal relationship that we have with him. In our image, our indicates the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Now, we make it all the way to the Garden of Eden, okay? Inside the Garden of Eden, we have this perfect setup. We have a perfect relationship with God, They could hear him walking in the cool of the day. They had this perfect relationship. Nothing separated them from God's voice. They also had a perfect relationship with each other. There was no fighting. There was no bickering. There was no quarreling. There was no blaming. Nothing. It was absolute perfection between man and woman. Then we had this perfect connection inside. We didn't have any fears. We didn't have any phobias. No worries, no anxieties. It was absolutely perfectly peaceful inside of us all the time. And then we also had perfection with nature. Lion could lay down with lamb. We didn't have to be scared of any of the animals. Everything was perfect. Okay, so we had this ideal setting in the world. Then all of a sudden we know that sin came in and all four of those things were broken. We lost connection with Jesus. We lost connection with each other. Fights, quarrels, upset. We lost this connection because now all of a sudden we had fear. We had blame. We had shame. We had guilt. All of this stuff was broken in here. And then now nature even has been broken. We no longer have the safety with nature that we have. And nature even knows that it's broken because in Romans it says that nature groans for redemption. Nature even knows that it's broken. It knows that it's corrupt. And it's waiting for the day for God to come in and redeem it. Okay, so we know that things are going to be right again. Yes, absolutely. Once we get to heaven, everything's going to be perfect. And what about now? Yes, we have the Holy Spirit to intervene, to kind of help fix the relationship with our spouse, to fix the communication here, and even to fix in here. We have promises we can claim in Scripture that can give us peace and rest when our anxieties begin to bubble up. The only thing that we don't have any sort of reconciliation with yet is with nature. Okay, so we don't understand ourselves. There are three different states that we're going to get into tonight, called the survival state, emotional, and thinking state. Okay? We're going to hit each one of these, and you're hopefully going to be able to go home tonight and be able to label where your spouse is, where your mom is, where your kids are. Depending on what they're doing, you will be able to say, oh, he's survival. Oh, she's emotional. Oh, they're executive, whatever it is. Okay. So first, we have this survival state. Now, everybody's heard the phrase fight or flight, right? Okay, there's actually a whole other section of freeze. There are kids who actually don't fight you, they don't run away from you, but they do this. And they have nothing to say. By the way, I meant to ask this. How many of us are here because we're parents? Oh, most of you. How many are here because you're a teacher? None of you. Good to know. Okay, so there's this third one that you freeze. Now, one really important thing about the survival state is that you have to know where you are, okay? You have to know, you sort of have a go-to survival state thing. You either fight a lot, or you flee a lot, or you freeze a lot. I tend to be a freezer, okay? If I am, well, let's do this first. Where's my friend? Okay, so here's Shelly. And let's say that Shelly and I are super good friends. I mean, we're holding hands, for goodness sake. We're really good friends. So we're good friends, and we're hanging out, and we have decided that we're going to go down to downtown Fort Worth, and we're going to go on a little trip to Bass Hall. So we go to our little show, and we see some friends afterwards, and we chat with them. We're like, oh, hey, guys, did y'all enjoy the show? Okay, well, so we move on, and like we've talked to them for like 20 minutes, and so by the time we're walking off, the cars are gone, nobody's left, and we're walking back into this empty garage, okay? And so we're fine, we're up here in this executive state, and we're just thinking, whatever, everything's great, and then all of a sudden we hear footsteps behind us. And so we sort of look at each other, and we're like, oh, okay. So we pick up our pace. Right? A little bit. And then the footsteps pick up its pace a little bit. Now, at this moment, what's going to begin happening in our physical body? What's going to happen? Adrenaline. What else is going? Heart starts pounding. What's happening to the palms of our hands? Sweating. And actually, the muscles in our legs are tightening up because we're getting ready to what? Run. Okay. Now, this whole episode, right, it's completely physical form. It's all your body physically responding to this scary situation down here. Now, in this moment, did I have to say, Shelly, I'm sensing something back here. We need to shift down into our survival state so we can get out. Did I have to say that to her? No. What happened? When did it happen? Instantaneously. It was an automatic response, okay? I did not have to say, we need to come here, honey. We got something. I didn't have to do that. Both of us immediately, and when was it? When we what? When we heard the footsteps, right? We heard the footsteps, and automatically both of us went down here, and we're getting out, okay? So watch this. The moment that she and I sensed threat, the very moment, we instantaneously, it was an automatic response. Can we stop that? No. We sensed threat, boom, we're going. Can't stop it. And we're old. I'm old. You're not old. Nope. I'm old, okay? And I'm, you know, 34 years old, and I can't stop it. does this make sense? Okay. Now, physical body, and I keep pointing down here because this is basically where we shift to. Your survival state is down here around your amygdala. So down here you come. Anytime you sense threat, doesn't matter if you're 0 years old to 100 years old, if anybody in this room, male, female, doesn't matter, if you sense threat, you are wired to shift. It's God's way of saying, you need to get out of here. You either need to fight somebody, you need to flight somebody, you need to run, or you need to freeze and get help. That's we're wired, designed. That's your physical response to threat. Now, here's the other thing about that. Okay. Let me see if it's in here. When you do this, nope, okay. When you do this, okay, so we're walking around, we're having this good time, we're in this thinking brain, da-da-da, everything is great. All of a sudden we hear footsteps, out comes this pool of skills, because once I'm up here, everything's great. We're going to talk about this place in a minute. I'm up here, we're having this great conversation, you know, the show was great, I love it, it was great. And then all of a sudden we sense threat. If you shift down to the survival state, out pops this sort of pool of skills, and the only things you can do are fight, flight, or fool. That's it. That's all. You can't think clearly. You can't, okay, let's do it like this. We're driving a car. And she's in the passenger seat, and I'm talking to her. I'm like, what are you going to buy at the mall? Some shoes. Oh, okay, that sounds good. And then all of a sudden, I look back. This has happened to everybody. You look back, and you see brake lights in front of you, right? And you're like, and you're like a millimeter from the car in front of you, and you're just, and you can almost feel the chemical rush, the chemicals release in your system because you're so stressed out from almost hitting that car and you're a little bit jittery, shaky, right? Okay, if in that moment she leans over to me and says, hey, I've really been meaning to teach you this algebra problem. It's AX plus B. Am I going to be able to learn anything in that state? No, of course not. I almost just had a wreck. So out pops the skill. I can't learn anything new. I am down here around my amygdala. There's no way I'm going to learn anything new. All I'm focused on right now is my body's response. Somebody's trying to get me. I almost just had a wreck. I can't learn anything new at all. Zero. Don't try to talk to me. Does that make sense? Okay. I can't remember where I was going with that. So, it's important. Okay, so when you have a little tiny person who in here has a child under 5? Okay, good, most of you. Okay, if you have a kid under 5 and you have just said, well, two things. A, we've just learned that if we feel threat, out comes. Fight, flight, fool, or freeze, okay? Now, if I have my little 3-year-old and they are headed to, you know, I don't know, touch the TV, okay? Here's the TV. And don't you even, did you hear me? If you touch that TV, you know what's going to happen. Now, if that is the case, what am I doing when I do that? I'm threatening her, right? Every great parent that's ever been born has threatened their child at some point. Everybody, okay? I've done it. Everybody's done it. And I've been teaching on this 10 years, and I've done it, okay? So everybody does that. If you do that, won't you just wait? You'll go ahead, try me, right? We are at it. We are threatening. That's what we do best, is we threaten our children. So when she comes over and I'm doing that, and then out comes, so she's here, she's trying to, don't you, out it comes. Now, the moment I threat, we just learned as adults that if I threaten her, out comes this pool of skills. Now, all she's capable of doing at me is fighting me, flighting me, or freezing. Is that conducive to her learning something new? Nope. She's not going to learn algebra, and she's also not going to learn how to be trained or what to do instead of that. She's now way down here. So the objective is to keep our children out of this and up in here so that we can actually teach them something and they'll be able to learn it. Because here, they're never going to learn it. And most discipline counters with parents happen right here. And we're like, well, I've told them 85 times. Well, yeah, you're telling them right here. And they're not hearing a single time that you tell them. Because I didn't hear anything when I'd almost just had the wreck. You can't live under a threat like that. Does that make sense? Okay. Any questions? Okay. She's so quiet. Okay. All right. I think I'm done. I might need you again in a minute. Okay, thanks. Okay. So really important. Now, survival's a really good thing, too. Survival kind of gets a bad rap. I don't want it to get a bad rap. Their survival state's wonderful. If you've ever been walking along, you know, a dark street, again, if you will, and you kind of sense, oh, I just had this sixth sense that something was wrong, okay? That's your survival state kicking in, just saying, something's dangerous, get out. Or it's when you come to the edge of a cliff and you look over and something in you says, don't take another step, back up. That's your survival state kicking in saying, you don't want to die, okay? Back away, okay? So your survival state's really, really good. You want to have one. Okay, you just don't want to solve your conflict from there. Because if you do solve your conflict from there, and it's physical form, let's say you have a little one, and they decide that, you know, no, you may not have that, and upset hits, then all of a sudden they get upset, and they're going to solve it from their survival state in its physical form. What are they going to do? What do children do? They scream, but what else do they do? Stomp their feet, hit, throw stuff, throw themselves down on the ground, hit like this, kick their feet, whatever it is. It's this physical body response to the upset that they're feeling, okay? Okay. Also, the other thing you need to know about survival state is that your short-term memory completely leaves you, 0 to 100 years old. If you shift to survival state, your short-term memory is gone, okay? So, for example, if you're really stressed out, maybe you're really stressed out and you're trying to get in a hurry in the morning and you've got your bag and all of a sudden you had your keys in your hand and you went to get, you know, quick muffin and quick bite to eat and you sat there and then you stood up and all of a sudden you can't find them, right? Can't find your keys anywhere and you literally just had them 2 minutes ago. That's because your short-term memory has left you. You're so stressed out. You've shifted. I'm going to be late. Oh, my goodness. I got to get to work. What if my principal sees me? Whatever it is. And then out, down you go. And now you can't find anything that you needed. That's your short-term memory. It's completely left you. Now, here is a video. This is an actual 911 call, okay? And the sweet woman in this video has shifted. Okay, she feels threatened, okay, and she has shifted down here to fight, flight, or fool mode, freeze mode, and her short-term memory has left her, okay, so sweet lady. I want y'all to watch this sweet woman in this 911 call.
Wait. Central National 911, what's the address of the emergency? I'm locked in my car. My battery's shut down.
You're locked in your car?
Yes, I can't. My power's shut down on my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to hyperventilate. I'm starting to freak out.
And hey, you said your battery died?
Yes.
But okay, you tried the handle, right? It won't let you out that way.
No, ma'am. It won't let me do anything.
Okay, can you actually see the top of your lock? You know, on the door, can you see what?
No, it's... Oh, my God.
Yeah, just pull it open.
Please, I'm good.
You can get out now, right?
I'm out. Thank you, I'm so good.
Okay, all right.
Isn't that unbelievable, right? That's what we do. I'm not going to admit to the ones I've done, but that totally happens sometimes. Actually, I will admit to one. One time, I had been really stressed out. It was August, and it was when I was consulting. And so August is always my busiest month because I was, you know, I was in a different city, like, every day. And I was traveling with a sitter, and Wesley was with me, and I was stressed out about that. And so I was in a different city every day, and I was finally, it was like my third week of doing that, and I was back in Fort Worth, and I was at a school in Fort Worth ISD down in downtown, and I can't believe I'm telling y'all this. And so I'd gone to eat at P.F. Chang's by myself, and so, you have to park, you know, downtown, you have to park, and I put my little coins in the meter, and so I walked, you know, down there, and then it was after, so I was walking back, and I got up, and got to my car, unlocked it, and opened up the door, and there was this very handsome African-American man sitting in the driver's seat of my car. And I was like, hello, hi. And he was like, hi. And his children were in the back. And I was like, oh, this is not my car. Okay, two cars up was mine, okay? It wasn't even a Hyundai. I drive a Hyundai, okay? I was gone, okay? So stressed out, I was just randomly opening up people's cars in downtown Fort Worth. Okay, so my short-term memory totally left me. I was really stressed out. Okay, everybody does it, hopefully. Okay, now here's another one of a child. Okay, she's 13 years old, and sweet Natalie Gilbert, she has won the chance to sing at a professional basketball game. So you can imagine the preparation that has gone into this night. She has her makeup done, dress on, hair done. You know good and well from the moment she learned that she won this competition that she sung the national anthem 20 times a day, every single day, while she walks out, and she begins fine. But as she begins, her short-term memory leaves her, okay, and she blanks. And I want you to watch who comes to her rescue and what he does to help her.
And now to honor America and salute the men and women serving our country with our national anthem, please welcome, as voted by you, the fans, our winner of the Toyota Get the Feeling of a Star promotion, Natalie Gilbert.
So proudly we hailed at the stars like stars.
Stars like
glass gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through.
Yeah.
so I'm sure all the men in the room know, but for the ladies that don't, that was the head coach of the Trailblazers at the time, Mo Cheeks. What did he do for her when he came over? He touched her? What else? What was his state? Very calm. Very calm. Now, she was survival state, okay? Now, we all really feel sorry for Natalie Gilbert, okay? We don't necessarily feel sorry for our two-year-old that's having this meltdown on the floor. But what would have happened if he had come over to Natalie Gilbert and been like, you need to sing this song. Do you understand me? We are all waiting for you in this stadium, and you need to sing it right now. Come on, what are the words? You know the words. I know you practiced. I'm not really screaming at you, by the way. Okay, so, right, like, would she have ever been able to pull it up in that moment? Of course not. Of course she wouldn't have been able to pull it up. But that's what we do to our children. They're, like, having this absolute survival moment down on the floor. And see, that was survival for her. Her, you know, her heart was pounding. Her palms were sweating. She was stressed out. And Mo came in and said, hey, I'm here, and I'm going to talk you through this. We're going to sing it together. I'm going to walk with you through this, and I'm not leaving till we come out of this together. So basically, if I could sum everything up, it would be we need to learn how to be, I need to learn how to be Mo Cheeks every time my child has a survival moment. I need to keep it together so that I can walk him through this so that he knows what to do for next time. Because yelling at him, you know what you're supposed to be doing. I've told you to do this 85 times. Why are you always acting like this? Why can't you be like Jesus? Or whatever it is, we're yelling. And then they're not getting it. They're not hearing me because they're in this moment, okay? Any questions? Okay. Okay, so the survival state has to have one thing. There's only one thing that it needs, and it has to have safety. That's it. It has to know that it's safe. Mo Cheeks came over and said, hey, I'm calm. You're safe. We're going to sing this together. And he was terrible at singing. No singing capability for Mo. Okay, I don't know if you can see those, but this is what happens when people do not learn productive strategies for how to handle their survival state as a young person, okay? This was actually in the Houston Chronicle newspaper. A 40-year-old Philadelphia man was arrested after pulling a gun on a youth league coach because his son wasn't getting enough playing time. More than 60 parents, players, and coaches were involved in a brawl during a football game for 7th and 8th graders in Oakland, New Jersey. Former NFL player Bill Romanowski, who once punched a teammate and spit on an opponent, was nearly suspended from coaching in a youth flag football league after getting into a verbal confrontation with a 12-year-old. The second-string punter for the University of Northern Colorado was charged with stabbing a man in the thigh, who was the guy the team's starting punter. Okay? These are all very good examples of people who'd never learned good strategies when they were younger. Now, don't get me wrong. We're all of us in this room. You go to your survival state. I go to my survival state a lot, okay? We just don't hit people or stab people when we do it, okay? But if you're in a fight with your spouse and your finger is flowing like this and your teeth are gritting and your heart rate's up, that is your physical body's response to that upset. You are in survival state. If you are not talking to your spouse like this, you're more than likely in survival state, okay? If your breathing changes at all, you're in survival state, okay? All of us, we do it. 0 to 100. Okay. So, I want to get to this real quick. All right. Anybody in here heard of, most probably half of you at least have, heard of mirror neurons? Like you look in a mirror, those kind of neurons. Okay, everybody has hundreds and hundreds of cells in their brain. Well, you have a certain set called your mirror neurons, okay? So your mirror neurons are these fabulous, fabulous cells that allow you to mirror what somebody else is doing. So if you're sitting, ladies, if you're sitting with a good friend of yours and she starts talking to you and telling you this really good story and you're just right there with her and, you know, something emotional and she gets a little teary, what begins happening to you? You get a little teary too. You're like, you don't even know these people that she's talking about, okay? But you're just right there with her, getting teary and emotional with her, okay? We're meant to do that. God has designed us in a way to want to feel what somebody else is feeling. It's what gives us empathy for somebody else. Men, same thing for you. My sweet daddy, I love my daddy. He, though, is a huge sports fan. Loves Alabama. Roll Tide. He's a Roll Tider. And so if I'm at home at some point and Alabama is playing, literally, I can be outside on the back porch throwing the ball with their dog, and I can hear, if they score, I can hear him screaming through the brick wall because he thinks he scored the touchdown. I mean, like, it's in him. He feels it. He's mirroring that excited feeling, and he is jumping off the couch, and he's not even real life. I mean, like, this is on a screen, and he's feeling this, okay? He's mirroring the excitement. Okay, we're meant to do that. Everybody in here is downloadable. Everybody in here, you are a downloadable human being. Okay, 0 to 100, you can. Oh, let me. Here's the. Okay. You are both. You can both download somebody, or you can get downloaded. Okay, so the idea is, you want to be the downloader, not the downloadee. So, for example, here, let's, here. Can you come here? Thank you. Okay. And him, yes. Here's your husband. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so let's say, anybody go to this church? Y'all know him, her. Okay, so let's say, because they've been married
20 years this year.
20 years. When's your anniversary?
November the 30th.
Look, he said it first. That's so great. Okay. November 30th. November 30th. Congratulations. That's a big deal. 20 years. Okay. Now, let's say we've just learned about this beautiful survival state that we have. Okay. And now we learn that we're downloadable people. Okay. So let's say that she's had this great day. You know, her 13-year-old has come home and had this wonderful day, has, like, shared Jesus with somebody at the lunch table, invited somebody that didn't have any friends to come, and you're like, oh, I'm doing such a good job. And then, you know, here he comes in, right, and that her eight-year-old comes in and just is obedient and sweet, and the siblings are playing well together. It's just a great day. It's a great day in the Allen house. Okay, so then in walks Scott, okay? In walks Scott. Come over here. We need to pretend you're coming into the house. And let's say you got this purse up right here. You just got your purse down, okay? And so okay, you got it. Okay. So in he's going to walk into the house, okay? He's going to walk in. Here we go. I hope not. Okay, just kidding. Okay, so here we go, right? She's fine. She was up here in this beautiful place. Everything is great. Life is wonderful. He walks in, trips, and snaps, right? Now, probably, like, he probably called her at lunch, said, hey, honey, how's your day going? Okay, let's have that for dinner. Love you. Bye. And so something between lunch and this happened. Is it probably about her? No, probably not. Probably not. He came straight in, tripped, snapped. Now, when this happens, he comes in and snaps out, right? Here's the moment. Here's the downloading moment. He's already downloaded. He was in bad traffic. He had somebody come in that was a hard person to counsel, whatever it was. I don't know. I'm a pastor's daughter. Like, they just come in sometimes stressed. It's a rough life. So he comes in and snaps. Here it is. She's automatically wired to mirror. She has mirror neurons. So here's what's going to happen. She's going to mirror this, and you heard what she said. I didn't even have to coach her. She's like, why are you snapping to me? Okay? It's an automatic response to mirror what he's doing. So the objective here would be, when this happens, and the good news is we have Jesus, okay? The lost world, they're on their own, okay? But we have the Lord, okay? So when he comes in like this, I can say, you know what? This is probably not about me. I'm not going to let this download me. I feel it, but I'm not going to let this download me. I'm going to upload, take some deep breaths.
Upload Jesus.
That's right. I'm going to upload the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say a little prayer for him. And then I'm going to respond, and I'm going to try and download him back. And I'm going to say, hey, honey, it looks like you might have had a really rough day. What can I do? What can I do to help you? The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to move my purse to make sure that you have a safe house to walk into. Okay? Right? This sounds real easy. Mm-mm. Not at all. But the idea would be that this goes both ways, that you both look at each other and say, hey, listen, when I come in frustrated, please download me. Don't get downloaded by me. I need you to download me back. Okay? I'm gonna download him. Okay? Does this make sense? He don't want to be downloaded right now. Does this make sense? Okay. So mirror neurons. You're going to, and the idea, the thing to remember is, if you get snapped at, okay, let's say she's snapping at him. Why can't you just get home by 6? Why can't you just be taking time for your family? Whatever it is. Here she comes. She snaps. You're going to have to realize you're going to get downloaded. You're wired to go there because you have them. You have the mirror neurons. You're going to mirror it. The choice comes in when you say, okay, I'm a kick back here. I'm going to upload this before I come into this encounter with her. Does that make sense? So you're going to go there. You can't say, well, I'm never going to get downloaded, honey. I'm just going to always love you, and I'm just going to never be mad. You're going to get downloaded. When they snap, you're wired to snap back. The choice comes in when you say, okay, I feel it. I'm going to upload the Holy Spirit before I handle this mess over here. Does that make sense? Okay. So you can know their survival if they come in all breathing heavy and upset, snappy, snappy. Okay? Any questions? No questions. Okay. Thank you. Thank you both. All right. So ideally, we step in as this, right? Because if you come to your sweet kiddo who's doing something, and you come in like this, and you're like, like at church, you know, across the way. Right? Like, they're going to be like, okay? Or they're going to run away, screaming, don't spank me, don't spank me. And you're like, oh, dear, somebody call CPS. Okay? Does this make sense? Okay? So your facial expressions can also, 92% of what you say is nonverbal. So if this is what you're doing all the time, you're downloading your child. We want to stay like this, still have consequences, still have firm handles, still have boundaries, but we want to set our boundaries with our face like this and not like that. And I still do this. There are still times I look at Wesley, I'm like, especially if it's in church. Act right. Okay, so we're going to move up a little bit. We're going to move up a little bit into this beautiful emotional state that we have. Now, ladies love their emotional state. Women love their emotional state. It's where we have love, joy, grief, sorrow, enthusiasm, excitement. All of our passions are here. Men have emotional states too, but women tend to really love this state. It's a really, really great state, just like the survival state. But it's not the physical body, but it's moved up a little bit to where it's verbal, okay? It's the verbal state. So where survival is all completely physical, heart rate, palm sweating, you know, whatever, we move up a little bit, and this is the verbal state, where you're not necessarily ready to hit the person, but you are, I can't believe you. I hate this. This is stupid. Why do you always say that to me? Or little kids. You can't come to my birthday party. I'm not your friend anymore. Or whining is in the state, tattling in this state. Verbal is this state. Now, where the survival state has to have safety to come out of that state, the emotional state also has a need, okay? We're wired for the emotional state to have a need, and the emotional state need is love. It has to be loved, okay? In order to, you've heard the term, fill their bucket. Okay, that's basically, when somebody says fill their bucket, they're basically saying the emotional state needs to have somebody loving it, okay? The emotional state is also, I don't have a lot of time, so I want to get to, let's get to the next one real quick. Okay, I want to get to tags. Okay, so the emotional state tags events as extremely important, okay? For example, and I want you to raise your hand. Who in here remembers where they were on 9/11? Exactly where you were. Okay, good. 100% of you remember where you were. And that's because when that happened, your emotional brain says, oh my goodness, this is really important, really important. This is a really emotional memory. I'm going to remember exactly where I was and what I was doing. All of us do. I remember exactly where I was, what I was looking at, where I was standing in the room when I saw the first plane go into World Trade Center. I'm tagged, okay? Now, everybody has really great tags and really hard tags, really bad tags, okay? So, for example, who in here remembers, both men and women, who in here remembers where you were when you proposed to your wife? Most of you, okay? Okay, second question. Who in here remembers where you were when you first found out you were pregnant with your first kid? Okay. Most of you. And now those are two really wonderful tags. You remember where you were when you proposed to. It's this great, emotional, beautiful tag in your mind. And then you have this other beautiful tag. You're like, oh, I remember the first time I found out I was pregnant. It's beautiful. All the time. Okay, so great tags. But I guarantee you, you also have, and I bet every single person in this room can remember one kid at some point that made fun of them or hurt them or betrayed them as a child. Mostly everybody I know can remember at least one kid in elementary school or high school that made fun of them or hurt them in a way that they were like, oh, that was awful. And you have a bad tag. As far back, I mean, we have them now that you could were tagged with. But I'm just saying they go as far back. That's so, the emotional brain is so filled with tags that you can think back that long ago and remember one of those. Okay, so the objective for our children then, here's the bad news. Your children are going to grow up with both good and bad tags from us. My kid is going to grow up with good and bad tags from me because I mess up as a mom all the time. And there are times that I have to go into him and I have to say, Wesley, earlier today I yelled at you, and I was wrong to do that, and I had to pray, and I had to tell the Lord that I was sorry, and I had to ask for his forgiveness, and now I need to ask for yours. I'm really sorry that I yelled at you. You know, kids are great. They're like, it's okay, Ma. I love you. Night-night. And I'm like, whoa. It's even worse when you're nice about it. It's terrible, okay? So my kid's going to have good and bad tags. The objective is we want our children to leave us with more good tags than bad. Okay, now we're gonna get into very, very explicit ways the next time I see you to give your kids good tags. We talk a ton about the spiritual way God's given us and how we're designed in order to give our kids really, really good tags. But tonight I just want you to understand we have them. We have both the good and the bad. Make sense? Okay, you also have these with your spouse. You can have good and really bad tags with your spouse, and you want to make sure that you have more good than you do bad. Also, when I say you need to love somebody, what I'm really saying is to show somebody that you love them, you have to be present with them. And I mean present without this right here. without this right here. This is what's taking away every single person in the world. It's taking them away from being present with their spouse and being present with their children. I was out at dinner the other night, sitting at Jason's Deli, and I was watching a pair of mother and son, and mom was on her phone, and the son was sitting across from her, and super well-behaved. I mean, super well-behaved, probably eight-ish, and he was watching the mom, and so she was just texting the whole time. For 35 solid minutes, not one word was shared between the two of them. And eventually, at about the 35-minute mark, he stood up, walked over, and just sat next to her to watch her text. And she never moved when he sat there. And I just thought, how many times a week is that happening? That child is craving, and that child won't always crave it from her. He will not always crave her presence. But right now he's craving it, and she is passing off that moment. She's passing off that presence to be right here on her phone texting somebody that's not in her presence. This is really, really huge. Our children and us, we are wired to have a need in here. This is not just a want. This is not just, oh, this is sweet. It feels so good when I have time with you. Mm-mm. You're wired, literally wired to need that presence with somebody else. We're built to be made to live in community. A long time ago, we knew this, right? When God designed man is not good to be alone, he made Eve. We're meant to live in community. The 1970s, okay? The 1970s, scientists came out and said, we think the brain is a social organ. Yes, indeed it is. We knew that from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, that the brain was a social organ. But science didn't find it until the 1970s. Okay? So you have to have safety. You have to have love. Okay, one more time. Okay. So let's say, okay, 20 years, good situation. Let's say, you have a couple, young couple, you know, they're in love. Year one, right here, okay? Year one, everything is great. All they do is have presence with each other. They have no children. Life is great, so they just look at each other all the time, and they touch each other all the time. Yeah, it's great. But then all of a sudden, you know, something happens, and hurt happens. They get into a fight, okay? And so this little rift comes in. Now, here's the problem, okay? Most of the time, when the rift comes in, all you do is make up. You make up. But you don't really re-love each other. Like spin presents, okay? So all you really do is you have this cut. And so, you know, she says sorry.
So sorry.
I know.
Oh.
That's a very sorry.
This is a whole nother workshop, right? Okay. So he apologizes also.
I'm sorry.
Okay. And then, but there's not really a, hey, let's be present. They're like, sorry. So they sort of walk along in marriage, you know, year two, year three, like this.
Sorry.
And then all of a sudden, you know, there's more conflict and more upset. And so they sort of say, sorry.
Sorry.
Okay, so they sort of walk along like this for a little bit. And then they, you know, more hurt. Children come in. They don't agree on that. Don't agree on discipline. They have more upset, more hurt, more hurtful things. And then eventually they get to statistically year 7 or year 12. And they look at each other. And genuinely, most couples that have made it to year 7 or year 12 will say, I really, really want this back. We used to have something so great. I really want to have it back. And they'll be like, okay, let's really work on it. And so they'll start from here and try to work on it a little bit, and they'll get to about here, And then they'll be like, it's too far gone. We're going to have to divorce for irreconcilable differences because this is just too far gone. When if they had caught this early, you know, the moment that the hurt came in, if they said, hey, instead of just apologizing, of course that's important, you need to apologize, you need to say you were wrong, whatever it is. But if after that they said, hey, we need some presence, we're going to leave our phones at home, we're going to get a sitter, and we're going to go on a date, and we're just going to look at each other, we're going to laugh, we're going to play, we're going to joke, we're going to tease, and we're going to feel this. I'm going to feel this on you, you're going to feel this emotional state on me, and we're going to get reconnected and not just apologize. That's what's going to keep you here. Now, there's going to be seasons where you ebb and flow, especially if you have, like, multiple little children. You're going to, like, be out to here, and you're going to be like, oh, my goodness, where's my spouse? And so you might have to have, like, a season of you plan once a month, every month, to have time where you don't have a phone, you don't have your kids, and you spend this time alone. He's feeling this for her, she's feeling this for him. Time. Filling it with love. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Thanks. Did y'all hear? She said, I feel like we need to renew our vows now. Okay. All right. So the emotional state has to have love. All right. So then we come up to this beautiful place that we hardly ever see our children. Okay, and it's called the thinking brain, okay, and it is this beautiful place where you find logic, rationale, brilliance, clear thinking, problem-solving skills, organizational skills, prioritization skills, empathy, okay? You have all these beautiful things up here, but the problem is we don't ever stay here when conflict occurs or when upset happens. If we sense upset or threat, we either shift to emotional or survival immediately, because that's how we're designed. So the objective would be that when I feel myself shift, I step back, I wait till I'm back up here, I cool off. A lot of times people will know, I just need to cool off because I'm better when I cool off. They don't really know what's happening. But what's happening is they've shifted to one of these two states. They take time away, they cool off. They come back up into this executive state and they're like, hey, now I can talk about this. I couldn't talk about it before. Okay? So then you can come back and have this conversation with somebody. Now, the idea with children is when they shift, you don't ever teach them if they're here or here. You wait to teach them until they're here. We get into this on night 3. Okay? We talk about training and how the brain gets trained and habits and all that kind of good stuff on night 3. But this is a beautiful place. Okay. This also has a need. This has to be safe. This has to have love. This also has a need, and it needs stimulation. It needs to be solving something. This is why, as a teacher, if I give my class something, if I keep the same centers out all year long, eventually they're going to come to, like, week 3 and be like, oh, my gosh, like, I've been doing this for 3 weeks, and they're not going to want to do it anymore because it's not new. It's not stimulating to them. Even as an adult, if you go to the airport and you're waiting for a flight for 2 hours, nobody just sits there and stares at the wall. You're either people watching, you're on your phone, you're playing a game, you're reading a book, you're doing Sudoku, you're doing a word search, you're doing a crossword puzzle, you're doing something, because even as an adult, you have to have stimulation. It has a need, okay? Safety, love, stimulation has to have it. Okay. Now, very quickly, Holly, Shelley, one more time. I'm so sorry. You're being such a good sport, Scott. One more time. Okay. So, we're going to pretend like this is one brain, okay? Now, yeah, they know what to do. Y'all know what to do. There you go. Oh, this way. There you go. Okay. So, this is going to be the executive state where we find brilliance. This is going to be the emotional state where we find, you know, verbal yelling, name-calling, profanity, okay? This is going to be the survival state where hitting, pushing, The spouse that, when you get into a fight, gets into the car and leaves every time, slams the door, won't come out, whatever it is. Okay. Now, looking at this, here, y'all spread apart just a tad. I'm going to have y'all get back together in a second. Okay. The survival state, okay, babies, teeny tiny babies, when they're born, they have a very well-developed survival state. I just saw a tiny baby. Where's that tiny baby, that cute baby? Oh, she's out there. Okay. So they have a very well-developed survival state, meaning they're surviving. Who teaches a baby to cry when they're hungry? Nobody. They know when they're born, when I'm hungry, I'm going to scream. When I'm wet, I'm going to scream. When I'm tired, I'm going to scream because I'm surviving. I'm communicating to you, I need something. It's very well-developed, okay? The emotional state is there when they're born, but it sort of wakes up around the age of 2 when the child can look at you and say, no. When you're like, hey, come on, honey, come on. They're like, no. You're like, oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay. That's, you're like, good job, honey. Your emotional state is waking up. Way to go. No. Okay? That's what they do. It's waking up. And then you have this executive state where kind of it's there when they're born, it's there here, but it sort of wakes up, this wonderful place that we want them to be all the time. It wakes up around the age of 4 or 5 when the child looks at you and says, why? Why are we going to the store? Well, because we're hungry and ran out of food. Why? Because we ate it all. Why? Because we got hungry. Why? Because God made us that way. Why? I don't know, honey. Ask God, okay? Like, leave me alone. Why? And you know then, oh, this executive state, waking up. Now, here's the bad news, or maybe good news for some of you. The executive state doesn't actually fully develop until the age of 25, okay? So if you have teenagers, there's hope out there in the land that they're going to get it, okay? And for men, can be as late as 30. Okay.
46.
Okay. Long time. So when they're 16, you see a lot of back talk, you see a lot of sass, okay? When they're little, you see a lot of throwing themselves down the floor, calling, you know, whatever it is, okay? Beating stuff, throwing stuff, kicking chairs, okay? Okay. So 0, 2-ish, 4-ish. Doesn't fully develop until 25. Here's the other thing. The same thing that this state needs right here, this emotional state, it has to have presence and play. It has to play games with you. It has to connect with you. The same thing that this needs, it does the exact same thing inside the brain. There's these things called corticolimbic connections. Okay, that's a scientific term. Corticolimbic connections. And what it is, there are these connections in the brain that wire up these states together, okay? And so basically what happens is you wire this so that, okay. What's the first game you play with your baby? You got this tiny, teeny, tiny word, dad. What do you play with your baby? What's the first game you play with your baby? Patty cake, okay? It's the first game you play. So you're like, okay, I got this teeny little baby. So cute because it's not talking yet. So you got this teen little baby and you're like, patty cake, and what are you doing right now?
Mirroring.
Right? And you don't have the phone out. You're not like, look at the phone, honey, patty cake, baker's me. No, you got this, right? You got me. Patty cake, baker's. Now, when you do that, you're filling up this need right here, okay? The other thing you're doing is building this connection. Okay. This is important because if you don't have it, anytime upset hits your brain, no matter if you're 0 or you're 100 years old, if you're not wired, you automatically default to the lowest state in the brain. So if there was somebody in very extreme, horrible, very rough cases, if there was somebody that was never played with, never talked to, never swung in a swing, never laid down in the clouds with to look up at the sky, nothing, never had dinners together, never had one-on-one time with anybody. They're not wired. So they grow up to be a 46-year-old man who anytime something doesn't go their way, they shift to survival and they fight you or they run away or they freeze. They have no social skills at all to handle upset. And in the extreme form, this person ends up in prison. Okay? Now, if they do have this, then all of a sudden, this gets built. Now, watch this. Now that this is built, when upset happens or when threat happens, this state is now, watch this word, capable of overriding this state. So now when upset hits, I might just yell at you as opposed to hitting you. And this is much more socially appropriate than this. So if we keep playing all the way through 6, 7, 8, 9, we play these great little games, and then we're going to talk about all the things you can do to wire this up. The next time I see you, that's night 2. We're going to talk about all the things you can do to wire this up. There's tons and tons of ways, very important, intentional things you can do, that you're going to wire this. So eventually, hopefully when they leave us at 18, we have a brain that's wired and connected so that when upset happens, they say, what can I do to solve this better? How can I be more likely to make a good choice next time? How can I be more successful next time? Instead of, I hate you, you're stupid and fat and ugly and I never want to come back, or I'm going to run you over with my car, okay? I don't know what else to say. Like, does that make sense? Okay? So very, very important that what fills this also makes this. And the problem, the next generation that's coming up, literally, I see it on Facebook all the time. They have cribs now that you place an iPad in, and the babies watch the iPad instead of watching right here. They have them in strollers. They're everywhere. And we're losing this. And because of that, we're losing this. And we're raising a generation of people who respond here. This is not what we want to do, okay? We want to raise them here because this is who God calls us to be through the Holy Spirit, not here or here. Does that make sense? And it starts with us. There's the bad news. You're like, oh dear.
Amen.
Oh, dear. Okay, because, and I'll tell you this, I've been teaching this 10 years, okay? And there are days, and I'm wired. I was played with, I've pancaked my whole life. I mean, like, my parents were awesome, mom stayed home. I mean, like, the works, I'm wired. I'm capable. But the problem is, there are times that I get so angry that I know I'm down here. And I will call my mom, and I will say, you are not going to believe, I cannot believe this. And she'll say, well, sounds like somebody's survival. And I'm like, bye. And I'm like, I'm very happy. I am survival, and I'm very happy down here. And I need to spend some time down here in my survival state before I can come. I mean, I know it. And then slowly I have to come back up here and be like, okay, hey, mom. Hey, I'm better. Help me with this problem or whatever it is, okay? But I mean, this happens all, like, daily. Daily. I'm like, oh, dear, survival again. Okay, so it's going to happen to you. The objective is to recognize it at this point and be like, oh, I need to come back up here before I handle anything else. And especially spouse to spouse, I would not suggest telling your spouse, your survival, you need to go on back. Make it a little worse, okay? Does this make sense? Okay. So, there's something else. left me. Okay, I think I'm finished.
Don't worry, we'll come back.
Sorry. Thanks. Okay. I didn't do that. It's okay. All right. Any questions? It's 10 minutes. No questions? I'll be quiet. Yes. You got it. She will be. Yes. Yes. Thinking. Anytime they're calm. If they are calm, okay, so survival state's physical. If you can, you'll be able to recognize the emotional state if they're saying anything verbal to you that's disrespectful. I don't want to do that. No. I don't want to. They're not slamming anything down on the ground, but they're sure letting you know with their words they don't want to do it. There's conflict in here. Or if they're in survival state and they're like this and they're screaming, that's one thing, survival. But if they're just doing that, I don't want to go, okay, the whiny cry, that's emotional state. Okay. Anything physical is going to be survival, but anything whiny, anything verbal that's disagreeing with what you have said, more than likely their emotional state. Does that help at all?
Yes, can they learn the emotional
state? Not normally. Not normally. No. We get to that. Okay. There's one little what's it called? Snippet, if you will, that is might be allowed. I usually don't even get into it when it's a three-night thing, but now I will. On night three, we'll get into that. But normally, no. Don't even try to teach in the emotional state. Wait till they're up here. There's one little thing you can do that sometimes works in the emotional state. For the most part, you want to wait till they're up here. And anytime they're calm. And actually, little children, adults for that matter, if they sense threat, they're going to shift. You're hardly ever, I mean, like, you have a prodigy of a child if they stay in their thinking brain when something doesn't go their way, okay? Like, every time something doesn't go their way, they're going to shift to one of these two states. Most adults shift to one of those two states when something doesn't go their way. Traffic. We're alone in our car, and you shift to one of those two states if you're in traffic or if somebody pulls in front of you. Like you've been waiting in the line, right? You've been waiting because there's construction and somebody zooms up and pulls in and you're like, I love Jesus, but you need to get out, bud. I've been waiting. Here you are cutting in the line. Okay, so we shift and they shift anytime upset happens. Any other questions? Yes. We're getting to that. We will get to that on night two. Right now, I just want you to label it, okay? We will talk about how to come out, how to help them out of that state, and a lot of it has to do with downloading. But we'll talk about it on night two. Really, I want you to leave here and know, okay, my child's survival. And you're going to be like, great. Now what do I do? Come back to night two, and I will help you, okay? We will get to it. Yes, yes. So night two, we get into that. Right now, I want you to leave and just understand the three states and know where you are, where your spouse is, and where your children are by the way that they're behaving or by the way that you're feeling. Yes. Okay. Oh, good. Okay.
When you finish questions, I'll
have anybody else have one?
Yes. Assuming that anything that we may have been doing wrong all these years,
absolutely. That was so sweet. Did y'all hear that question? Oh, she said. She said, okay, so my children are over five. Like, am I going to be able to save them? Like, from all the things I've done wrong? Don't worry.
Like,
Yes. Okay, here's the answer to that, okay? Good news and bad news, okay? Children up until the age of 8, the neuroplasticity in their brain, it's very, very malleable until the age of 8. And science can't explain it, but supernaturally God's wired us that at the age of 8, it firms up. It doesn't mean they can't change after 8. It just means it gets harder to change them after 8. So if you can catch it before 8, that's ideal, but don't lose hope, okay, if you've got teenagers. We'll talk about on night 3 what that training looks like and how the brain looks like, but absolutely. And also, be aware of this, that I'm giving you all of this brain research, but God's grace is bigger. I mean, he's going to come in for my mistakes, for everybody's mistakes, and somehow his grace is just going to pour over it. So don't stress if you feel like, I know this stuff, and I feel like I fail my child every day. Really, I do. I mean, there's nights I'm a single mom, by the way. I've been a single mom. I've never been married. And so there are nights when I just feel like I am bombing out. I'll talk about it on night 2 and 3. But I just have to pray that God's grace just comes in. I want to be the best mom possible. I want to be educated, and I want to know these things, and I want to do the right thing for my kid. But ultimately, there's a God that comes in, swoops in, and just says, hey, I'm going to cover this. So don't stress if you feel like you're failing. We're all there together.
So I didn't miss the cutoff at 8.5.
You missed it. You missed the cutoff. Yes, 8.5. Yes. No, it turns on. It takes a little while. The emotional brain can actually take a long time. It especially in the teenage years, it's moldable. That's when the emotional brain really gets going. It's pretty full online around 13. Pretty much online. And also the emotional brain, it kind of depends on how much love it gets. If it gets a whole lot of love, it can sort of develop sooner than it if it doesn't get any at all. Like if a child, it's like the typical child who never received any connection, any love, and they search for it the rest of their life, compared to a child who did get it all the way through 18 and they're not as needy as somebody else. It kind of depends on how much love they get while they're growing up. Yes. Mm-hmm. Whatever, whether it be grandmother or whoever being fully present with them, even though they had that from a baby, can they still kind of revert back to Yeah, absolutely. If there's a massive trauma in somebody's life, if you've had that happen, Dr. Bruce Perry, I've sat under him in several conferences. He's phenomenal, and he's sort of the brain guru for children that have been in trauma. They've experienced some kind of trauma. Bruce Perry is the guy you want to read. But yes, they can absolutely revert back, and sometimes it takes a long time for them to come out of it. I'm at Covenant right now, and there's a sweet family there, a dad who their mom, they have a second grader and a fourth grader, and we pass them in the hallway every day, and their mom passed away this past summer, about 6 weeks ago, of cancer. And one of them is handling it fairly well, and the fourth grader is not handling it at all. And so our school prays for them weekly. We pray over them, we pray for them, we pray behind the scenes for them. And yes, she's totally connected. But if you met her on the street, you would think, man, why didn't anybody spend any time with her? Why didn't they connect with her? Why isn't she wired? And right now, she's just going through such trauma that it may look like she's not connected, when in reality, she really is. A lot of times, somebody that's experiencing deep depression or deep sadness can look like they're not connected, when in reality, they're very, very connected. They're just experiencing this situational depression that makes it look like they aren't. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
It did. Okay. And I think that as adults, too, mm-hmm. to realize that about ourselves. That
yes.
You go through something like that, to give yourself a little
bit. Yes. Leeway. Yes. This little fourth grader is in survival every day. Every day. So, anybody else? No? And I can't remember, I was going to say the date. I can't remember what the date is of night 2. October 20th, I'll be almost 35. October 20th, not that y'all need to know that. October 20th, I will see you here again for night 2. Thanks for coming.